Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the tree of life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Well, Rob, we've talked about some of the games yesterday. We started with the Niners and the Jaguars. And speaking of the Jaguars, they, you know, most people thought they would run away with the AFC South. I did. Now, you picked Indianapolis to win that division.
I did.
Look, I don't think they're going to win that division. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. But I give them credit. They play hard. And Shane Steichen has done a good job with them, because I think they're playing at a higher level than most people thought. Especially, I mean, Anthony Richardson, he was a rookie anyway, so I don't know what people expected. But you know, they're a tough out. I'll give them that. You're going to be in for a battle.
Well, when I mean, you play if you would have said they're 5-5, Chris, and have won their last two. I mean, it is pretty amazing where they are when you consider what went on last year.
And they got a backup quarterback.
Think about last year. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That was a mess. But Jacksonville is in front 6-3 in AFC South, but right on their heels, Rob, is really one of the biggest and best stories of the year. And that's the Houston Texans. And Rob, DeMeco Ryans, the first year coach, of course, was the defensive coordinator for the Niners and a player not that long ago. And this is a team that won 11 games in the previous 3 years. And they won three a year ago. We know Deshaun Watson forced his way out of there. And now, Rob, they drafted the guy I thought should have went first, C.J. Stroud out of Ohio State. And, Rob, the dude looks incredible. I mean, it's just, that's not an overstatement. He is having arguably the greatest rookie season in the history of the league for a quarterback. And we'll see if he keeps it up. We're only halfway through. But on Sunday, he led them to a come-from-behind victory in a game that very few people thought they'd win. Cincinnati, Joe Burrow's healthy now. They have been rolling. I think they had won four straight. And this was a game Cincinnati needed, Rob, because, you know, with the slow start because of Burrow's injuries, they really don't have much room for error. And not only did C.J. Stroud lead them to victory, he outplayed Joe Burrow 23 for 39, 356 yards, one touchdown, one interception.
Yeah, two fumbles, and, too.
Yep, two fumbles. So he wasn't, it was, not
have
a perfect
game
by
him,
any
nah.
stretch. But Rob, now, get this, he is leading the league in yards per game, 292 per game. He's got 15 touchdowns, only two interceptions. And he is one of only a handful of quarterbacks with a passer rating over 100. He's at 101. There's only six of them, and he's one of them. Russell Wilson, Kirk Cousins, Dak Prescott, Tua, and Brock Purdy, the other five with passer ratings over 100. And here's what I want to throw at you, Rob. In a year where we've talked about it, no one has really distanced themselves from the pack. The usual suspects, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, you could even throw it. I mean, he's not a usual suspect, but, you know, last year he was, and this year he's thought to be coming into the season, Jalen Hurts. They have not distanced themselves. They're having good years, but nothing incredible. And let me ask you, do you think that the rookie, C.J. Stroud, has inserted himself into the MVP conversation?
No, not yet. I don't believe so. They're 5-4. I just think that, Chris, they will give Joe Burrow – if the numbers, I mean, he's got to be incredible. They got to win 10, 11 games. It's got to be something of that ilk. If he plays well and they're 9-8, he's not winning the MVP. It'll go to Joe Burrow or Patrick Mahomes to win another one, because their numbers, if they continue just to play and play, you know what I mean, at a decent clip,
right,
won't be fan, you know, like what we're used
be
to.
Near 5,000
but they'll
yards
be exactly. But you know what I mean, Chris? They'll be the numbers will be good enough. Where somebody will say, well, given their track record and their team won 12 games and they did this, they did that, it'll go to somebody like that. Like, that's the only way they're going to give a rookie quarterback on a team that's around 500. They lose a game, they lose next week or two games in a row, and then that conversation is done. I mean, that's how – and we talk about it all the time, week to week with – and it's funny because – they had the big win, Chris, but he had three turnovers in that game. Two fumbles and an interception and only one touchdown. Still was a big win, but
well,
it wasn't like...
come from behind.
Right, but it wasn't
and
like he
ran one in. Remember, he threw one and
right,
ran one in.
But I'm saying with the three turnovers, it wasn't even like his greatest day. And so that's the part that I think
the
weird
comeback nature, though, of
yeah, no, that's what people
has
think.
People
yeah
raving. Again, he's a rookie. Check this out, Rob. Only two times in the history of the NFL has a quarterback completed 60% of his passes or more, thrown for 275 yards a game or more, had a 7-1 touchdown to interception ratio or better, or had a passer rating of 100 or more. Only twice. And the two guys to do it, Tom Brady in 2016 and Aaron Rodgers in 2011. Rodgers won the MVP. Brady, that was the year, Rob, he was suspended four games for Deflategate. So Matt Ryan won MVP, but Brady, good. It's fair to say he may have won it had he not been suspended. And C.J. Stroud, Rob, believe it or not, is on pace to do that. And so I hear you and I agree. Obviously, 5-4, like if you were given the award now, that's not good enough.
Right. That's not going to get you right.
Right. If that's the equivalent, 9-8, that's not good enough. But I think, Rob, if they win 10 games, and like I think you have to win at least 10 games, and that's 10-7, which isn't phenomenal. But I think you have to do both of these things. Win at least 10 games. And, Rob, they have to make the playoffs. If they're 10-6, like if they miss the playoffs,
he ain't winning no MVP.
There's no way.
That, right. You can forget
but
that.
If they, and I don't know that 9-8, if they could sneak in at 9-8, I don't think that would get him the MVP. But if they're 10-7, double figure wins, won three games last year. So that's one of the necessities to me for him to win MVP. The other, Rob, is, well, let's say that happens. And then let's just say all the quarterbacks kind of play at the level they're playing at. Right? Mahomes plays this way all year. Burrow, Jalen, Lamar, you know, whoever. And including C.J. Stroud. Rob, I think he will win it. I think if he gets them into the playoffs with double-figure wins and everybody kind of stays as they are right now statistically, I think he would win it. Because this is the year, like we said, there's nobody – like Lamar won, you know, the poll in The Athletic last week going away. Well, he had a bad game, and it was a bad loss. You know, Burrow had a bad game, two interceptions. You know, so I if he keeps these numbers,
but he had three turnovers, he had two fumbles,
but nobody's talking about that.
I know, but
he's only got two interceptions all year.
I understand, but in that game, like the game that we're raising him to, like this MVP level, wasn't the great game for him. That's all I'm saying.
It was a really good game, Rob. Even though he had turnovers, it was a really good game.
I know, but you said Joe Burrow had two turnovers. Oh, so-and-so had two. He had three. And it seemed like it's okay that he had three because they won.
Yeah, but he won with a quote-unquote inferior team. He don't have Ja'Marr Chase and Tyler Boyd out there catching passes
or dropping passes. All right.
And I don't think this one game elevated him. I think Rob, what elevated the comeback got people's attention.
Well, that.
But I honestly think the win. I think the win, Rob, is what really got people's attention, and the fact that you know what, they're 5-4, and check this out, Rob, they're 5-4. And remember, they lost their first two games, okay? So they were 0-2. And the two games they've lost since then, they lost both of them on last-second field goals. Last-second field goals. They beat Jacksonville. They beat Pittsburgh. They beat New Orleans. They beat Tampa Bay. And they've beaten Cincinnati. I think the fact that they're winning and now people are viewing them as a legitimate playoff contender and his numbers on top of that, and obviously he's the driving force behind it, I think that more than just that one game, Rob, has people saying, not that he's going to win. Like, Dan Orlovsky, I think, today said he's MVP.
Okay, can we go over the other Dan Orlovsky? You already know that's the kiss of death because Matthew Stafford's going to the – That was preseason. Justin Fields going to be the MVP. That's a guy who played quarterback in the NFL.
Think Orlovsky is really good. Okay. He's a really good analyst. But some of these pronouncements he makes are like,
it's just crazy.
What?
But here's my only problem. As much as we talk about it right now, Chris, it was just like the Brock Purdy coming off the big win against Dallas. Oh, give him respect. Give him credit. They should be in that conversation. Whatever. Then the next week he has an off day. He falls out of it. And that's what's going to happen here.
But don't
here.
You think that's no. understandable?
No, but that's what's going to happen here.
Year.
That's what's going to happen here is there'll be a bad game or so or some two-pick game and he throws a game-losing interception or whatever.
He only got two picks the whole season.
I got it. But it just takes one when you don't have a track record to fall out.
No, that's fair.
That's all I'm saying.
I think, look, we're halfway through the season.
I get it, Chris.
So, you know, patterns are set. So guys might not drop out and in as quite as much as they were earlier in the year. And no one has really been so great. You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing. It's not like you would say Mahomes is way out in front or Lamar is way out in front. So I think that is, you know, it's still wide open. But I agree. He there's no way you're MVP at 5-4.
No.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Listen to Comeback Stories. I'm Darren Waller. You may know me best as a tight end for the New York Giants. You may also know me for my story of overcoming addiction and alcoholism. You may have heard a few of my tracks as an artist or a producer. And you may have seen the work that I've done through my foundation. And you may know my friend and co-host, Donnie Starkins, as well. He's a mindfulness teacher, a yoga instructor, a life coach, a man fully invested in seeing people reach their fullest potential. And we've come to form this platform of Comeback Stories to really highlight not only our own adversity, but adversity in the lives of well-known guests with amazing stories. Catch us every week on Comeback Stories on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
Is a former NFL quarterback, friend of the show. You've heard him here before. We welcome in Sean King. Sean, what's up,
what's
bro?
What's up, Sean?
What's up, guys? How y'all doing, man?
All good.
We're good.
We all go back to ESPN days. We all worked there together in the old days.
Yeah. Friendships only get better over time.
No
man.
Doubt.
Thanks for having
us. We were just working there. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't our lives.
I tell you a funny story right quick. I remember I got in trouble at ESPN because I brought up a betting line, and they were this was the worst thing ever happened. And now ESPN is opening up its own draft network. So I mean,
it's funny how to change.
You were way ahead of the curve, man.
I know. I said a few things. I was way ahead of a curve, and now I think I'm right.
But has that come around yet? I don't know if we've ever
gotten
come
this. Around, I think.
Really? Okay. All right, but Sean, let's start. We were just talking about Brock Purdy and that game against Jacksonville with the Niners. Let's start with Purdy. I want to get to Lawrence later. But where are you at on Purdy? A lot of people, you know, reacted to those three bad games and thought this guy, you know, he was Cinderella. Now he's the pumpkin again, and he's not that good. Where were and where are you at him after what he did yesterday?
Well, I didn't really change my evaluation when he struggled, because one thing that I said coming into this season, I went back and rewatched all of Brock Purdy's starts last year, and he got very fortunate in a lot of situations. He threw a lot of balls into harm's way that ended up just being deflected, or, you know, just, you know, the DB dropping the ball. And he kind of got very fortunate. And I was like, at some point when you make those kind of aggressive decisions, it regresses to the norm. And so that three-game stretch, I think, was the first time in his young career where his mistakes ended up being turnovers. And so they got a bye week. They got a chance to calm down a little bit. He played excellent. I think his ceiling is elite game manager. I think his floor is something that San Francisco is going to have to address, because their window is not forever. Like, this team at its core has kind of been supposed to win a championship now for the last 4 or 5 years.
Right.
And he's not as talented as Jimmy Garoppolo. He's just consistently available more.
Wow. Mm. Yeah, no,
I think he's not alone, though.
You're not alone, Sean. There's other people in the league like that.
I feel like he makes better throws than Jimmy G, and not quite as many mistakes. Now, you brought up he's gotten away with some things, but, you know, Jimmy G made some mistakes. Now, Jimmy G was a comeback guy, too. He did lead them on a lot of comebacks.
Well, I think Jimmy G has much superior arm talent to Brock Purdy. Purdy does not have a top half of the league arm. Like, when you talk about velocity, being able to push the ball down the field, but he is top half of the league football IQ anticipation. So you can tell he's a young man that really understands the X's and O's of the game of football. He's able to go out and anticipate throws. But at times, I think his limitations really show themselves. And if this wasn't a team that had Super Bowl expectations, let me say this, guys. Remember the Rams with Jared Goff and how Sean McVay felt like we needed a Matthew Stafford to really win it. Jared's a good player, but we feel like there's a ceiling. I think Brock Purdy's kind of in that Jared Goff bubble, which isn't a bad thing, but he's not as talented as the guys that seem to actually win the championship.
Let's talk about not talented at quarterback. Zach Wilson, help me understand. And first of all, I just have a huge problem with the Jets that they talked – you know, last year they undressed the kid, right? Then they bring him back as a backup quarterback. Got a 39-year-old quarterback. They don't have a real backup in case something happens. And then they got to put the same kid in who they didn't believe was good enough, right, despite being drafted high and all the other things. And then now they've gone two games without a touchdown, and they're sticking with him, I guess. They think they're going to hold the ship until Aaron Rodgers gets back. I just don't understand. What am I missing on why he continues to play?
Well, again, this isn't Zach Wilson's fault, because Zach Wilson did what anybody would have done on draft day when your name is called in the top five.
Oh, I get it, right.
He got up and smiled, and he walked
and
to
took
the
money, right. I got it. Right. I got it.
Right, and so the Jets went out and tried to correct that mistake this offseason with Aaron Rodgers. And when Rodgers got hurt in week one, right from the beginning, he said he thought he had a cutting-edge recovery apparatus that would get him back for this season. So I think he really handcuffed the organization. And if he comes back and he's healthy, I mean, it'll all
with that offensive line, it ain't going to work.
I agree.
That's ridiculous.
But when you put all your eggs into that Rodgers basket and he says, listen, guys, I've got something, I'll be back, it's then hard to go out and give up more resources to get a bridge guy until he gets back.
You're just hoping
we can be good enough on defense and we get fortunate enough to make a couple plays of Breece Hall and Garrett Wilson to try and win some games that we shouldn't, and it hadn't happened.
But I just can't get over, like, week after week, no touch. I mean, in the NFL, I just –
it sounds mandate from on high.
Yeah.
You see Robert Saleh in these press
conferences. It doesn't make sense, does it, Chris?
I think to me it sounds like Woody Johnson. I'm speculating.
Right.
But I feel like Aaron Rodgers, kind of like Sean said, has talked to Woody Johnson, been like, I'm back or whatever. But Saleh pleaded the fifth. When asked why in the world, kind of like what you're saying, Rob, when asked that question, Saleh was like, you got me. I plead the fifth. You know, like, it sounds like it was a mandate from on high.
Hey, is there any coach in the National Football that at least looks more disgusted to be on the sideline?
Right. Yeah, I agree with that. He looks like he has a stomachache.
Absolutely. Every part of him wanted to go out and get Josh Dobbs from Arizona, yep, like Minnesota.
Right. You would be in a better spot right now.
Absolutely. Or Jameis Winston, or go try and get Kirk Cousins. This is before he got injured. But I think the moral of this is this. Just because you need a quarterback or you have a need at the quarterback position, don't allocate a high draft pick to draft the wrong guy, because you still have the same problem. You just have somebody in the position that can't sustain it. Look at that entire class. Just Trey Lance went right after that. Mac Jones is struggling. Right. They're trying to decide in Chicago, should they tank and try and get a quarterback, or should they use the Panthers pick, or is Justin Fields the guy? And if you evaluate all of that draft class coming out of college, it was huge question marks. Trevor Lawrence probably was the only one that didn't have question marks, and he's struggling.
Well, Sean, I mean, every year, the Malik Willis year, if I can call it that, that was a year where they weren't raving necessarily over these quarterbacks. But it seems like more often than not, they talk like they're blue-chip quarterbacks.
And everybody's going to pan out, right?
Right, exactly. But let's get to Lawrence since you brought him up. Where are you at on him? He's got 9 touchdowns in 9 games this year, 10 turnovers, fumbles and interceptions combined. And I'm not ready to write him off and say he can't one day be elite. To me, he clearly isn't there right now. And I'm a little disappointed. I think that team's got some good receivers. Travis Etienne is good. The defense bends a little but doesn't really break. They get a lot of takeaways. If he were playing at an elite level, I think they'd really be dangerous. Where are you at on Lawrence?
Well, let me say this. In that Malik Willis class, I said on draft day, I sent the text to Booger, Sam Howell is by far the best quarterback in this class. And
he's balling like it right now.
In the first round, and guys, I mean, a whole bunch of guys went before him. So that tells me the NFL still haven't figured out how to evaluate the position. One of the most surprising outcomes of this year is that Trevor Lawrence has not taken the next step. After the second half of the Chargers playoff game, and to be honest, they were extremely competitive in their loss at Kansas City, I thought he would emerge this year and become recognized as one of the top guys in the league, and that hasn't happened. And he's not playing with confidence, which is the most surprising thing. He drops back. He looks uncomfortable in the pocket. When it gets chaotic, he doesn't stay calm. So I'm not really sure what's going on there because I like Doug Peterson. I think they have a lot of weapons around him, but so I'm not really sure what that issue is. I haven't heard that he's injured, but if there's one quarterback you're kind of disappointed that he hadn't taken the next step, it's Trevor Lawrence.
No doubt about that.
When you look at Baltimore, the Ravens, they've done this before where they give up leads. Like we were just talking about.
They've been doing this the last few years.
Last couple of years. Remember when Miami came back last year, big down in Baltimore, gave it up? What is that? When a team, is there something missing there? Is there something? How can you build that lead and be in the fourth quarter? And it was kind of a fluky interception. It hit somebody and then went up in the air. But still, they've done this before. Is this the reason why they won't be able to win a Super Bowl?
I'm not high on them winning a Super Bowl. And I think it's because offensively they look good but not elite. Like no matter every week when you watch them, it's like, yeah, that's a first down. But man, that don't look repeatable. Like, yeah, they put up 20-plus points, but how did they do it? And a lot of it's injuries. I mean, they lost J.K. Dobbins week one, so they're trying to do running back by committee. I think some of it's still the new coordinator trying to figure out what part of the passing game Lamar is most comfortable with. Odell's been hurt. Aguilar was hurt. Mark Andrews was hurt. So they haven't really played with the full complement, but something just seems to be missing. I haven't been able to put my hand on it, but I don't have any confidence that Baltimore can go to Kansas City and win a playoff game. Like, I don't, as good as Miami has been at home, if Miami has home field, I mean, I don't have confidence that they can go down there and beat the Dolphins this year. So they're going to have to do something. This offseason, if they don't win it, well, it's just one of those teams. Like, yeah, they'll be in the playoffs, but I'm not really worried about them winning it.
Sean, in 30 seconds, where are you at on Deshaun Watson? Like, some people thought they saw glimpses of the old Deshaun Watson in this win over Baltimore late in that game. Where are you at on that?
He's hurt. You can tell when he throws the ball that he's not completely healthy with that shoulder. I mean, I can just tell from the arm angles and how he's trying to force, you know, over-the-top throws. So he's not completely healthy. When healthy, they're dangerous. That defense can be elite. I think losing Nick Chubb really kills them this year. But that's a team to watch if he gets completely healthy.
All right. That's our man, Sean King, former NFL quarterback. Great stuff as always, bro.
Thank you.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Let's go to an old friend. We're talking about young quarterbacks. This is an old coach, Bill Belichick. Now, yesterday, the Patriots lost yet again. They're 2-8. And
at least they're consistent.
Yes. Belichick looks to be at his wit's end. He may or may not be benching Mac Jones.
Well, he pulled him out for the final drive, right? The final possession. Yeah.
And usually, you know, you might give a guy a chance. You know, we've seen guys, I talked about it with Brock Purdy, Rob, several games ago, having a rough game. But a lot of times quarterbacks have redeemed the rough game, right, with leading a game-winning drive. And he didn't even give Mac Jones the chance. So he obviously was upset with him and the way he played in the game. So we'll see what that leads to. It's either him or Bailey Zappe is what's going to happen. So
not
we'll
like
see.
You got great choices either way, but.
No, right. Exactly. But again, 2-8 this season. There are rumblings. There were rumblings that Belichick might be fired during the season. Obviously, there's still a long way to go. But, Rod, you and I both, I see no way that happens. I think it would be a bad look for the franchise. And I also, just practically speaking, I don't think it would be a good move because some team may want Belichick in the offseason, Rob, so you could probably trade him and get some draft picks.
No, you could get something, right. You don't just let the guy go. And then, you know, there was a speculation. I think it came from the Boston Globe, right? One of the writers, Chris, that he would be fired.
Yeah, Ben Volland said he wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't make it through the year.
But
he does
like,
a good job, but yeah, that just seemed like.
Yeah. And he said,
Rob,
it was like,
because
they have
this,
a bye week, right? Don't they have a bye week or something? He said, like, it would be after.
Well, he was saying Germany was important to the owner, Robert Kraft. And that game was in Germany, that loss yesterday.
So that was it. That game was important to Robert Kraft?
That's what the report said. But I think also, Rob, and you may, I know you used to be on the radio up there in New England, you may have some knowledge of this, but I think there are a lot of media members up there that just aren't feeling Belichick. And I
Chris,
get it, right?
They can't stand the guy. And you know what? When you win 6 Super Bowls, Chris, there's nothing the media can do. Okay?
Right.
It's his way or the highway. He's winning. What can you say?
Yep.
And as soon as there's some blood or he's vulnerable, they're coming for him. That's just.
Yep. Don't you think that's what happened?
No,
you're
no
hearing
doubt.
These stories and people are talking about his coaching. Yeah. So that I'm glad you confirmed that.
No, that I totally agree. Totally agree with that. I kind of saw that a little bit in Detroit with Scotty Bowman, who's one of the greatest hockey coaches ever, the greatest.
Right.
And he won a lot. And, you know, some writers didn't get a lot. I had a good relationship with him, Chris. I really did. We just talked, you know what I mean? And I used to go in his office and he used to sit down and we really would have conversations. I really felt like we had a little bit of a bond. But a lot of guys didn't like him. So when the Red Wings thing started not working out, you know what I mean? People were taking shots at him, and I get
it. Well, Rob, I was in Cleveland just a high school writer at that point when Belichick was coaching the Browns. And the media despised him because of the way he acted, which was just like he acts now.
Right.
No quotes, just like, you're bothering me. Why do I have to talk to you? I get it, Rob. I mean, you try to be objective, and you should be objective, but you're human too. And if a guy is just making your day miserable every time he speaks to you, you know, it's going to rub some people the wrong way. And that's what happened in Cleveland, Rob. They only made the playoffs once out of the 5 years he was there. And that was a big part of why he got fired. And so I want to ask you this question, Rob. Has his legacy taken a hit in the post, these few post-Brady years? Now, to me, and you know this, Rob, I've been saying this for years, that he hasn't won much without Brady. And that's why I've said Brady, I give Belichick his credit. He's a great defensive mind and a great defensive coach. And I give him credit for the 6 championships. I won't take that away from him. But I thought Brady was more, like if you had to pick which one was more responsible, both of them obviously big time responsible. But I give the edge, not even the edge, I give it to Brady. And I pointed out Belichick, this will be the 11th season he's coached without Brady. He's only made the playoffs twice. His record in New England and overall is a losing record without Brady. So to me, this is just, I feel like this is what I said. And when Brady left, I said, they're done winning. They're done winning. And it looks like they are. So, but yet, in the same time, however you feel about him, he accomplished a ton. He accomplished more than any other coach in the history of the league. So you got to, I give him his credit for that. I don't take that away from him and say, oh, he can't coach. He only had Brady. I don't go there. But what I want to ask you, because I've heard commentators, and we talked about some of the writers in Boston, what they may be saying, but you also hear people saying, going further than me, like it was all Brady, or it was, he's not that great. He's, you know, without Brady, he's not the GOAT. And, you know, really, and even now, even the talk of him potentially getting fired either during the season or after it. So I would have to say just that type of talk, Rob, does to me mean his legacy took a hit, has taken a hit. Because we can talk about Popovich before he got Wembanyama and those 4 years, I think it was, where they were bad. And even him losing Kawhi, Leonard, you know, Kawhi forced his way out of there. And other players saying they didn't like playing there in San Antonio. But you couldn't, I don't think you could say his legacy took a hit, and I think it's clear it didn't, because there were never any rumblings whatsoever of him being fired. Never an inkling of a doubt or a hint from the franchise that they thought he wasn't that good or he could get fired or anything like that. So I think with Belichick, I think his legacy has taken a hit. And it's because it's been so bad in the post-Brady years.
Yeah, I totally disagree. I don't think that because of what he's been able to do, Chris, in his career, there's just no way you're going to look at it and act like, oh, well, yeah, he wasn't great, or the you know, you talk about it was mostly Brady, but they had like top five defenses that he had his hands on and he put together. And I get what Brady did, but they won the first 3 Super Bowls, and Tom Brady wasn't a prolific passer and comeback artist that he wound up in the second act after they went to 9 or 10 seasons without winning a Super Bowl. So I don't believe that. I don't think the way we look at great people in their careers, Michael Jordan played in Washington for 2 years and didn't even make the playoffs. No one holds that against Michael Jordan because of his greatness and what he was able to do, something nobody else was able to do. So we look at that. Muhammad Ali was a human punching bag at the end of his career with the rope-a-dope. Nobody goes, oh, I'm not calling that guy the greatest because he was terrible his last 4 years or whatever it was. They still call him the greatest, and he was still admired and loved. Chris, he was a shell of himself at the end. And the same thing with Bill Belichick. I'm not saying that when you do the resume and the whole story, it'll be a part of it, Chris, right? It'll be a part of it. But you, right. Unless another coach comes along and gets the 6 Super Bowls, it's going to be hard-pressed to act like he had nothing to, you know, he had nothing to do with it, and he was just there along for the ride with Tom Brady. I just don't think that narrative has enough legs. And even the only people who bring up the Michael Jordan stuff are the LeBron people who are trying to make a case for LeBron, right? So they always go to that, which is fine. And if people want to, they can talk about LeBron being in L.A., even though he won a championship. 3 years, they didn't even make the playoffs, or 2 of the first 3 years, or whatever it was, if you want to nitpick about situations. So I don't think Bill Belichick's legacy has been tarnished. I think he's going through. And coming into this year, Rob G., I forgot the number. He was a couple games under. They're having a bad year, and there's no doubt about it, Chris.
Couple games under what? What do you mean?
500 without Brady. Remember when they came in?
Yeah, he's under 500.
No, I know, but I'm saying coming into this year.
He was still under 500, yeah.
But it was close. And now, of course, 2-8 in six
but
games.
That's not good either.
No, but I mean,
it was close. I agree with you that I don't think his legacy should. Like I said, I think it's clear that if you had to pick who was more responsible, it'd be Brady. I think that's very clear. But I don't use that as a hammer on Belichick. I think you got to respect what the man's done. And there's no question about that. But I'm hearing more commentators question how good he is. Or
I don't know how to.
The talk of him getting fired and things like that. Like, how in the world are they talking about in New England?
Well, but
talking about firing Bill
Belichick. I'm telling you, because of the way he's dealt with writers there. I mean, Chris, it's not supposed to be that way, but I know that that's what it is. If he probably has never helped anybody. And what I mean by that, he doesn't give you good quotes. He's very robotic. Right. You know what I mean?
He'd be a
nightmare to be up there. Yeah, and we know people who have covered him, Michael Smith and people like that.
And Mike Holley's written books.
Michael Holley. So
he might have.
Exactly. And who else am I missing, Chris? Somebody, Mike, oh my God, I work for the Times and the Washington Post. Why am I?
Mike Wise?
No. Brother, Mike Freeman. He also worked up there at the Boston. Mike Freeman. So those guys all, you know what I mean, put in time in Boston and put in time dealing with Bill Belichick. So a lot of that is what you're getting now because things aren't going good.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. 2 420-foot vertical speedways, 3 launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at CedarPoint.com.